Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a woman's work. I've been talking to women who work for pay, and of course I often talk to you women who work at home, taking care of your home, your husband, your children. And it is my purpose to be an encouragement to all of you, not a discouragement to anybody. And if God has spoken to you about making some changes in your life, I certainly hope that you will be obedient to Him, because I'm sure that it is through obedience to God that we find real liberation and real joy. And I'm also sure that every experience, every job, every kind of work, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy. Now I want to give you some encouragement to those of you whose work is the care of children. Burton White, who wrote the book The First 3 Years of Life and ranks up at the top in the field of child development, wrote to the Boston Globe this letter, responding to an editorial that the Boston Globe had published on child care in the 90s. He says, "The Globe once again reveals a blind spot with respect to the issue. The editorial is somewhat unusual because it calls attention to the fact that many mothers now are older, have advanced in their careers, and are receiving good salaries. The editorial then states that these conditions mean that there will be an increased demand for higher quality care for infants, and that this demand ought to be met. What the editorial does not mention, or even seem to be aware of, is the impact of extensive use of substitute care on infants. Somehow or other, they hardly ever get talked about. Perhaps the most common basis for the call for more child care is the economic one. We hear women say, 'We must work. We need the money.' Ironically, this editorial talks about families where a significant measure of success has been obtained, and the economic factor is obviously not the principal consideration. Why does the Globe continue to encourage a quick return to work for both parents when those parents do have options, at least from an economic standpoint? Why don't you register any concern or even awareness of the special and vital needs of babies in the first years of life? Except in rare instances, there is little reason to believe that regardless of the quality of the substitute care, infants and toddlers are better off when they are cared for by their parents and grandparents. My lengthy career of research on the needs of infants and toddlers convinces me that this editorial is simply not in the best interests of babies, nor their parents, nor, ultimately, of society." Now, what this authority on child care, Burton L. White, has to say corroborates what I find in Scripture. In Titus 2, I find that as an older woman, I am to teach the younger women to love their children. How do you love your children best? Clearly, according to Scripture, it is by staying home, by mothering them, by doing all the mothering rather than only part of it. And when you stop to think about it, how many jobs which God assigns to us would we even consider trying to find someone else to turn it over to? It's strange that the job of mothering is a job that we feel we can legitimately turn over to somebody else. I would ask you seriously to consider whether your reason really is an economic one, you who are working, or whether there are other factors that might be changeable, alterable. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 to 17. We read this. Persecution will come to all who want to live a godly life as Christians, whereas wicked men and charlatans will make progress from bad to worse, deceiving and deceived. But for your part, stand by the truths you have learned and are assured of. Remember from whom you learned them. Remember that from early childhood you have been familiar with the sacred writings, which have power to make you wise and lead you to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every inspired scripture has its use for teaching the truth and refuting error, or for reformation of manners and discipline in right living, so that the man who belongs to God may be efficient and equipped for good work of every kind. It's always my purpose to give you the scripture which has its use for teaching the truth and refuting error, or for reformation of manners and discipline in right living. May I ask you three questions? Number one, do you want to live a godly life? Number two, will you stand by the truths you have learned? Remember from whom you learned them. And Paul reminds Timothy that he had learned them from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. It's very significant that it's from his grandmother and his mother. It doesn't say anything about his grandfather and his father. So the role of women was very important in the life of this man of God. In my case, my mother's example, reinforced in recent years by scriptures, has proved to be in strong opposition to what I've seen happening in society. We see the family breaking down. There cannot be any argument that some of the breakdown that is occurring is because women have left their home responsibilities and have gone out to work. The third thing that I want you to notice, scriptures have power to make you wise. Are you willing to be made wise? They can lead you to salvation through faith. And it's not just the initial step that God is talking about when he uses the word salvation. He wants to save us through and through, save us in our lives here on earth. I had a letter from a young woman who said that she had never been happier since she decided that God was calling her to full-time mothering. I've had so many testimonies from women like that, women who, some at great sacrifice, some with great resistance and great fear of what the future might hold, have given up their work with their husband's permission and have decided to stay home. And the testimony is often similar to this one. "I've never been happier," she said, since she decided that God had called her to full-time mothering. And in Psalm 18, the first few verses say, "I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my stronghold, my fortress, and my champion, my God, my rock, where I find safety, my shield, my mountain refuge, my strong tower. When the bonds of death held me fast, destructive torrents overtook me. The bonds of Sheol tightened around me. The snares of death were to catch me. Then, in anguish of heart, I cried to the Lord. I called for help to my God. He heard me from his temple." Some of you listening to me may have responded in rebellion, in anger, in pride, in defensiveness, or just perhaps in a sense of being absolutely crushed by my words. You feel as if you've been cast adrift. She's telling me to do something I can't do. She's telling me that God is asking me to do something impossible. Well, God does sometimes ask us to do things that look impossible, but they never turn out to be, because God's command is always his enabling. So, having read you this letter from Burton White that corroborates what Scripture says about staying home, are you willing to consider this possibility? Do you want to live a godly life? Are you willing to stand by the truths that Scripture teaches us? Do you want to be wise? May the Lord give you the courage to trust Him. I love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my stronghold, my fortress, and my champion. Some of you know that in my own life there have been some extremely difficult decisions that I've had to make. There have been things that happened which I thought were the absolute end. There was no way that I could carry on serving the Lord when I'd come to a dead-end street. For example, the time when my informant was killed in my first year as a missionary. There wasn't anybody else to do the job that I needed to have done. What was I to do next? And then the time when everything that Jim had done in that first year, he and I were engaged during a part of that year, and he'd been working on a jungle station, and the jungle station was completely demolished by a flood. Those are times when you need a stronghold, when you need a fortress, a shield, a mountain refuge, a strong tower. Go to that tower. You don't need to refute my words. You don't need to bring your explanations and defenses to me. Take them to Him. Call on the Lord, to whom all praise is due. And the psalmist says, I shall be delivered from my enemies. When the bonds of death held me fast, destructive torrents, maybe those torrents of rebellion or anger or pride or defensiveness, or the torrent of hurt, when they overtake you, then in anguish of heart, I cried to the Lord, he says. I called for help to my God, and He heard me. I'm here today to tell you, He will hear you. He will deliver you. He will help you. If you have presented your entire life to Him, and you want to cooperate with Him in what He wants to do in your life, the life of your husband, the life of your children, and all those for whom you pray.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.